flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Radio Row, getting you ready for Super Bowl 59 Eagles and Chiefs on Sunday. What's funny now?
I'm just thinking about 5:30 Creed.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Would you relax?
Well, look, it's been a – I know I'm not – I am bearing the weight mentally and emotionally of the failures here today,
right,
and I'm
right.
trying to get over it.
This is the guy I had to try to please with the dinner reservation, right?
Like, No.
Let's not go back down that
Yeah,
road.
All right.
I just think it's, like 5:30 Creed's going to sound ridiculous here. And I also think it's funny, it's probably going to be on delay back.
Yes.
Whenever on remote, it's always delayed.
Yeah.
So it's going to sound even worse.
Yeah. Yes.
So
shout
I'm thinking
out to
I would videotape it and not sit.
Kendrick Lamar won 5 Grammys last night.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Kendrick Lamar.
First diss track to ever win a Grammy?
I thought Drake won a Grammy for
Nobody cares.
Back-to-back. Yeah.
I'm pretty
sure. All right.
The better diss track.
All right. Let's do the top 5-5.
Each the 5.
Number 5.
At 5.
5.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, 5. Beautiful 5.
Given how today's gone, I could definitely see Fran just not playing Creed at 5:30, too.
He better play Creed at 5:30.
Oh, dude, he don't play Creed. He might as well leave.
Yeah, he might as well just walk home. He might as well just walk home. So what I have for you is the top 5 best things that happened last night and yesterday in general. Long day. A lot of fun stuff happened. Number 5 is Giglio's existence.
Oh, my God.
It was so funny just seeing him out in the wild. You know what I mean? Like, he had these high-ass shoes, like high tops almost.
Bright orange, by the
Bright
way.
Bright orange.
Yeah.
He's wearing like a...
Nice shoes, just bright orange.
They look comfortable.
I think that was the purpose of the show.
if you could picture, like, the most minivan, suburban white dude.
Soccer dad.
Yeah.
Out in New Orleans on Bourbon Street, I feel like Joe Giglio is the poster child.
By the way, how tall do we think Joe is? Because I can't imagine it.
5'10"?
So why in every picture do they make it look like I'm 5'7"? In the
Joe
New
does
Orleans
make every, he does, he looks taller. I
well,
think,
no, in the New Orleans broadcast thing, they make it look like Joe is 4 inches taller than me.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the one where Elliot looks like he's hovering over all of us?
No, yeah. I didn't see that.
Well, yeah. I didn't get in the first one, so they re-edited it with me massive as a joke in front.
All right.
And then let me show Giglio's hammer thumb.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I've seen Joe's hammer.
Next time.
No.
Next
time. Oh, no, yeah. It like goes all the way back, right?
It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
It's,
all right.
It's pretty gross.
Good start to the top 5 for Joe.
His existence out last night was shocking.
Yep.
4th, and I know Ike appreciated this, and a lot of the local media members appreciated this. There's been a lot of unfortunate stuff going on with planes recently, and we landed. Everything's great. All of a sudden, brake check. Everyone's flying.
Oh, man.
Like,
really?
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Everything going on planes right now. And he's just like slams on the brakes.
Like, bro, that's the last thing we need.
When you landed?
Yeah.
Seriously. I literally thought we hit something. Like, I thought we had hit something.
Yeah.
That's how hard he hit the brakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he give a, whoa, sorry, guys? Did he do anything?
I think he did it as a joke.
Did people clap?
No, there's no clap.
I haven't been on a plane that's done
with
that
the clap.
I've heard that.
That used to be back in the day. Yeah,
it's so good. Yeah. We should bring that back. The pilot, I bet, appreciates when you clap when they land.
It doesn't. It's a little sarcastic.
It is.
You think it's a Bronx cheer?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit. It's a little Philly. You know, we've been swinging at every pitch until the 7th, and then we took a pitch.
That's like when Castellanos said he was ripping the fans under his breath.
Yep,
he was.
He was like, he didn't say I bleeping hate this place, but he was just like, he's like, this place.
Yeah, I forget what he said.
Oh, right, right.
He got one of
those. I thought you meant today he did.
No.
Why would he say that today?
I don't know. It was like a video of working out.
Yeah. The third best thing that happened yesterday, you know, flight lands and Ike, I see it out of the corner of my eye, takes out the phone and then turns into selfie mode. And I, you know, I get in it. I photobomb it a little bit.
Yep.
Think nothing of it.
Yeah.
Even though I look blurry.
Yeah.
It goes on Twitter.
My selfie mode is not good.
Ike stays with the selfies. Yeah.
Dude, Ike's like a world traveler. Everywhere he goes, he's like, I got to get a photo of this. Yep. I got a photo of that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. He always gets a photo of all of us together. Yep. I appreciate that because I'm bad at it.
Yep. No, I think he does that so he can put it on Twitter and say, how do you deal with those dorks?
No. Yeah. That's why you haven't seen any of them on Twitter, especially after the last one.
He puts the photo out there. And people think I'm wearing yoga pants, and the amount of people who were just I live rent free in their head. Ike's tweet has like 250,000 views. Ike's quote tweet or Spike's quote tweet has another 230,000 views.
Yeah,
it was obvious the pants are just. I was sitting for two and a half hours.
They were tight yoga pants.
Also, I think what didn't help too is your leg does look very skinny, so it almost looks like you're like crossing your legs or something with the tight.
Now I have skinny legs.
You do? Yeah. Well, now.
No, I've always had skinny. Even in my peak.
I have skinny legs as a pitcher.
I know. I can't build muscle. That's my other issue. Lean muscle is what we call it.
Yeah.
It's my dad's fault.
What do you lift weights?
I used to lift weights, and everything stayed the same.
Do you squat?
I hate squatting.
Well, that's why you have skinny legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know I had a good trunk. It's just the calves were the big issue.
Mm.
I'm always jealous of people with nice calves.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The second best thing that happened yesterday, Hugh Douglas had a day.
Hugh. We could do a whole show on Hugh's day yesterday. Yeah.
First, Hugh's bag, I believe, was a little too heavy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he had to carry his shoes around the airport all day.
Oh, because he had to lighten his bag to get under the weight.
He had like 8 pairs of shoes just walking around. Yeah. And then Cowboy Jim gave everyone or people on our flight, he gave Ike and Hugh a bunch of minis.
A bag of minis.
You didn't get any minis?
All I got was a free drink.
Just so everyone knows, minis are the little alcohol bottles that they give to you on the plane.
Yeah.
Just so in case you didn't know.
Me and Gilio only got one drink. These guys got the whole trip, basically.
Just so we know.
There.
So when I saw Hugh, when did I see you guys? Oh, it was when you got to the hotel.
Yeah.
Every time I saw Hugh, he was like, I was like, wait, what is he drinking? How does he have another little bottle of alcohol? I didn't find out about this until later.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And then Hugh fell asleep at dinner.
Yes, several times.
Yeah.
Sitting up.
Really added to the dinner experience.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
Wait, not only was he sleeping, he would sleep, he would wake up, start laughing hysterically at something. And I feel bad for wait staff that has to serve people who are giggling. Because when somebody's giggling, I always assume they're giggling at me.
Yeah.
And she was very nice, the waitress last night. Yeah. And she comes over, and Jack's giggling. Hugh is asleep and giggling.
Yeah.
And then Hugh.
The other waiter, someone just came up to Hugh. Even our waiter. It was basically like, you sleeping, man?
Yeah.
I honestly thought they were going to, for a split second, they were going to be like, you got to go.
Yep. Yeah.
Wait, guy can't get a little shut eye?
I was fine with it.
It does not look good for the restaurant.
Right.
We were also right in front of the window.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson outside.
We did have Michael Jackson outside. That was a good touch.
And then another shout out to Hugh. So he would wake up, he would laugh for a second, then go back to sleep. He woke up, ate his whole dinner, and went back to sleep before I even noticed.
No one noticed.
That guy crushed those fries and that steak quicker than anybody has crushed anything.
Man, what a guy.
Yep.
But the number one funniest thing that happened last night, I've never seen a room not be ready. For 4 hours.
Oh, man.
Our room wasn't ready until 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
They didn't have towels, I believe.
It didn't even seem real.
Yeah. Well, I got there much earlier than everybody else because I was flying from Newark. So I got in at 10 in the morning. And I told Ava, I was like, don't worry about early check-in. I was like, I'll sweet talk my way in. I'm usually pretty good at that. So Jack texts me at 2:30, something like that. And he said, how's the hotel? And I said, I don't know. I'm still in the lobby.
Right.
And he said, you couldn't sweet talk your way in. And I said, Jack, I think 3 people work in this hotel total, in the whole hotel.
Yeah.
So I got in. I sweet talked. Their check-in time was 4. I got into my room at 3.
Right.
These guys, by the way, your room wasn't ready at 8, or your room was ready at 8. It still wasn't ready because there weren't any towels. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
They had a big towel shortage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still only have 1 towel in my room.
Really?
Yeah, they took a shower today.
Why is 4 o'clock the accepted check-in time? That feels so late in the day.
Well, maybe clean the rooms.
And maybe here. I get that, but maybe in New Orleans, because people go so hard.
Yeah, maybe.
That there's a lot of late checkouts, and maybe they're just trying to cover for that, which I understand.
I will say this is probably one city where you definitely want to make sure the room has been clean. You know,
yes. And yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They clearly took their time to make sure it's clean.
Wait, water down the streets?
Yes,
the next day.
I told you they did that. Well, yeah.
I saw that this morning.
It's wild.
Yeah.
You walk out, it looks like it's rained. They clean the streets. And shout out to New Orleans, man. Like, first of all, everybody here is incredibly welcoming. Yes. Everybody's cool. The people in the bars are really cool. Yeah. But also, and cleaning the streets, all that. But the given what happened here a few weeks ago and the gravity of this event, the amount of... I feel safe when I see cops and military everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere, yeah.
Every corner, in fatigues, fatigues with guns, and they have those steel things up in front of Bourbon Street now.
Yeah, they're
so,
not messing around.
No.
Wait till, 10,000 drunk Eagles fans show up on Bourbon Street.
Dude, this place is going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be insane.
They're also, I know there's a lot of bars in cities.
Yeah.
It's every inch of this.
It's.
Well, what's crazy is they're all on Bourbon Street, exactly the same.
Yeah.
Every single bar.
And it's the music's so loud.
Yeah.
Except for the one we found, and then we made it loud.
Yeah, well, then we yelled about Jalen.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Paul George situation, Elliot?
Yeah, we're not doing that there.
I enjoyed talking about that with Spike last night.
This hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale through February. Get 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com.
I heard Golden State's looking at Paul George.
Paul George?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Well, they tried to. Right. They were one of the teams that wanted him before.
If they can get a first-round pick for Paul George, they need to do it immediately.
What are they going to do with that first-round pick, Elliot?
What are they going to do with Paul George?
I'm not doing this with you because it's a circular argument.
Well,
the best chance they have at this point is to hope, cross their fingers, and hope everybody works out and is healthy the beginning of next year and they can make a run. If that is not possible, then they can trade everybody at the deadline. It doesn't do them any good doing it right now.
I just think waiting is there's a lot of room for disaster there. He could get hurt. His value could go down. If you can get a first for him now, because let's be honest, the chances it works out next year are very slim.
But there's a better chance of whatever your plan is going to be for next year.
But
there's
just,
no free agents.
You're just delaying the inevitable.
So all of a sudden you have Jonathan Kuminga and two expiring contracts and a first-round pick.
They are not in a good situation. I agree with you. But, they need to accept the situation they're in and start it so they can try to get in a better one. Waiting till next year to trade Paul George is just – Embiid and Paul George are not going to play consistently for this team. Definitely not Embiid. And Paul George just hasn't been good enough. So if you can get a first for him now, I think you do it.
Okay, so you get a 2030 first.
Yes.
What does that do for you?
But, again, what does Paul George do for you?
We wind up at the same spot.
It's
Super Bowl week. I don't want to do this with you. It's not that I don't want to argue with you. It's that you never have a solution. You just say, well, they should trade him. Okay, then what?
Well, that's the solution.
But then what? But solution
then,
of what?
Well, then you start to rebuild the team. That's like saying when you start a rebuild, what's the solution? I can't give you the 10-point plan of how they're going to do it.
Right.
I just know this plan isn't working.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Good. Amazing assessment from you.
And that's why I think Eagles defensively not.
Okay, Andrew, you're a WIP. What's up, okay?
Hey, fellas. First things first, I got something off my chest on Friday.
Yep.
I heard someone call in and was slandering my name about me calling into the morning show. I don't know if you guys have listened to when I call it or not. First of all, I did not talk bad or mock this show. I said we're taking the Chiefs to Pound Town, but it was not mocking what we're doing on this afternoon show.
Well, it sounded like you were stealing.
Yeah, stealing is a bigger issue.
Yeah. This was on the morning show.
No.
Yes.
To make it your own and turn yourself into a star.
Yeah.
No, I'm not quoting that phrase. I already got that in the bag, and Rios is taking a hold of that. So that's not me.
Me and Sexy Red, yeah, we got that.
Yeah. Well, you got that. Come on now.
Well, okay, I had to get it from somewhere.
Well, Ike, it's your phrase. Do you want to cut okay, Andrew, some slack for this, or
no?
Because I didn't hear the call. He may have been paying homage.
Okay.
To the Pound Town phrase.
Okay.
No, we played the call. He, yeah, he was not paying homage. No. He was saying, we're going to take the Chiefs to pound town.
I'm going to put OK Andrew on Foxhole Guy probation.
He's on the watch list.
Yeah, you're on the watch list. So you're not out. You're still in. But one more slip up, and okay, we're in a bad place.
Now, we're not saying you can't call the morning show. That's not
that's not the issue.
No, not the issue.
That's not the issue.
Yeah.
All right. I see what you're talking about. I don't know why the slander from a caller. I don't know who the caller was, but I thought.
Well, no, we played it on the top five. We played it on the top five. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who the caller called in, but
all right,
To my point, yes. This game's going to be decided on third down and in the red zone. And this season, we have fared pretty great with both of those categories, and the Chiefs' defense has not fared great with those categories. Their offense is elite on third down. Their defense is decent in the red zone. But their offense is not great in the red zone. They're 53%, 22nd in the league. And their defense on third down is 44% successful and 26th in the league. And we dominate them on those percentages in the regular season, and I think that's where we win this game.
Well, okay, we're a pretty mid-pack team in as far as red zone efficiency.
We're 13th on offense and 5th on defense.
Yeah.
So, but here's the issue with that, and I think this kind of speaks just a question about the game in general. Like, you can definitely make a bunch of points based off how the Chiefs have played this year. You go, okay, they're not great in the red zone, so that's a big advantage for the Eagles. But we all have to ask ourselves, do we really think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are going to not have a good Super Bowl? I think the most Chiefs stat is that they've scored over 30 points one time all year, and they did it last week when they had to do it. So, while yes, I agree their red zone offense has not been good this year, it's hard for me to believe that in the biggest game of the year, they're not going to be efficient in that area.
I just think we're going to be better than that in that category, more efficient. And
okay.
With their tackle situation, I mean, you got a left guard playing tackle, and our edge players are very hot right now, along with our whole D-line. So I know it's Patrick Mahomes. I know it's the Chiefs. I know it's Andy Reid. But I do think we pull this one out. We have to.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the issue, too, though,
thanks for the call, OK. Good call. Good point.
Good call, OK.
Yeah.
Way to bounce back, buddy.
Yeah.
I think he actually was hurt. He sounded remorseful.
Yeah. He loves the afternoon show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why it hurt to see him pull the act that he did.
Yeah, well, he's back. We hold him accountable.
Keep him in check here.
Yeah, that's what
we do. I don't think there's a show in America that
holds people accountable.
Trust me, I know. But yeah. Joe Thuney has actually played really well at left tackle. So when people say they have a left guard at left tackle, he's given up like 2 or 3 pressures in the past 6 games. So he's been good. The thing where it hurts him is their left guard is not good anymore. So I think when he talks about the matchup with the edges, it's more about what can the defensive tackles do against their left guard more so than taking advantage of Joe Thuney at left tackle.
Well, I think sometimes when you get a Super Bowl when both teams are this good all over, you really everything you say that will determine the game sounds like a cliche.
Yeah.
Like, but it's all true, right? And for me, the cliche that sticks with me is we got to get 7, not 3, and that's the difference. Now, if that comes down to Nick going for it on fourth downs, it comes through. You know, our red zone offense has actually not looked great.
That's middle of the pack.
Yeah, 13th. And my eye test, and there's a big difference, by the way. The number one red zone team scored touchdowns at like 76%.
You're right, but I mean it's roughly the middle. But yes, yeah.
Well, the number one
depends how you want to feel about it.
The number one red zone team scored 76% touchdowns in red zone, and we're I think 57.
Which is surprising, though, when you consider.
Well, what's surprising about it?
Because they have one of the most unstoppable plays in football.
Right, but
the red zone's 20 yards.
No, yeah. I know, but I'm saying their ability to convert within the 5. Look, they are where they are. I'm just surprised by it.
Interesting. Do you think maybe the quarterback has something to do with it?
Who's
basically the same player as Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, he is basically. I mean, again, this isn't an opinion. These are just the stats that show that. But regardless, like, I get what you're doing. Jalen's to blame for the bad red zone offense, but all the good things.
That's not what I said.
No, that's what he said.
Well, that's not what I said either.
Yeah. That is
just wondering if you thought maybe the.
You know, the Chiefs were able to stop the Buffalo tush push a couple of times as well.
As been well documented on this show, Jalen's better than Josh Allen, so.
At that one specific thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, at that one thing.
And winning.
All right.
I would love to know your eye test. Like, do you have an eye?
Yeah.
Or is it just?
I rewatch every game 3 times, and I watch them win.
What do you
every
see?
Single time.
Yeah. What do you see when you?
I see, feel like if you
I
look,
see them win.
Do you listen to it, or do you just have like?
I feel like maybe when Elliot's watching the game, he like if you look through his eyes, he just sees Ren and Stimpy cartoons or something where we see games.
Well, what I see is a quarterback that takes care of the ball, makes big plays on third down, and always wins.
Huh?
I mean, in all seriousness, what do you guys have to say to the fact that if he wins on Sunday, he'll be tied with Mahomes for Super Bowls after 5 years, in their first 5 years?
Great. It's a very successful first five
yeah,
years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's why he'd be a top 10 quarterback for sure.
Well, he would be the number two quarterback.
Well, he wouldn't.
If he wins on Sunday, he belongs.
Even if he plays bad.
I don't think they'll win if he plays
bad. But what if they win and he plays bad?
Okay, if he's terrible and they win.
No, not terrible. Let's say.
If he plays poorly. No, if he wins.
127 yards, one touchdown, no turnovers. They win. Saquon rushes for 185.
Yeah, then he belongs number two.
Okay, well that.
But see, I just think what you don't give him credit for is the like you just said it's a game where both teams are great, so it's going to come down to like cliche stuff like who makes mistakes.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And if Jalen doesn't have any turnovers in the game, that is a massive part of his stat.
I agree, but
yeah.
Josh Allen didn't have any turnovers and they lost. See, like. Here's the thing, and you, in our argument at the Jazz bar last night,
this was fun.
I said to you, you were giving him full credit for the Rams win, right? And I said, well, what if Jalen Carter slips on that final play, Matt Stafford finds a guy in the end zone, all of a sudden he's the reason they lost. And that's why I have a problem with the quarterback win thing, right? Because it depends on a lot of other things happening. I want to make a – I give him credit for – there is clearly something to the winning thing, something to it. But I look at his performance, and I am able to separate it from the rest of the game. I don't think you're doing that.
So
in that Rams game, he didn't play well.
I agree with you.
So I'm not going to go look at that game and go, he won, because really – the guy who deserves credit for the win, if you want to give it to somebody, is Jalen Carter.
So I agree with you when you look at like
Saquon.
When you look
or
at Saquon, right?
Yep.
So first of all, I didn't think he played great in that game. That being said, he did not make a turnover, a massive mistake that cost him. You have to give him credit for that.
But you gave him a C minus.
I gave him a C. I just said
so. A C minus is a C minus.
Yeah, I just said I don't.
Wait, hold on.
Think he
in which game?
The Rams game.
He took a safety.
Yeah, he did.
That's essentially a turnover.
That's fair. It's not, but I get your point.
What it is.
No.
Well, you've argued it should be a turnover.
I just said I agree with you. Okay. But when you say a one-game sample size is a win, you're right, right? A one-game quarterback sample size is a win is not a great way to look at it. I agree with you. But when he has won like 80% of the games he's played over 4 years, that to me indicates that obviously it is a good indication of how he is. Like, Jalen is the most important player on the field every time the offense is on the field. As a result of
being the quarterback. Well, but every quarterback would be.
I agree with you.
Okay, so... I'm giving credit for the things you are, but I'm not willing to say that he's the second best quarterback because of it.
But why not though? That's what I don't get.
Well, I've already explained why not. That's why I don't want to argue about it. I've explained why not. Because if he's the most important player on offense and they've minimized the things he has to do on purpose 4 games into the season because he wasn't playing well, then that and when these other quarterbacks I'm talking about, the entire offense revolves around them. Now did Josh Allen lose again in the championship game? Yes, but he lost to the guy that Jalen might lose to on.
Yeah.
Like, those things matter. Josh Allen's playoff stats, Josh Allen has the highest quarterback rating in NFL playoff history. Now, do I think that makes him the best quarterback in the league? No, maybe not. But that also means as much to me as the fact that Jalen's team is able to win even though he doesn't play well.
So Josh Allen is awesome. I agree with you. And I think if I was picking a quarterback, I would probably take Josh Allen over Jalen Hurts. But you have to include resume. We're talking about.
I agree.
Right. So Patrick Mahomes is number one, not because he is so clearly the best quarterback. He is the best quarterback. But like, the difference between him and Josh Allen, I don't think is the difference between everyone puts Mahomes automatically number one and then you start the list. The reason Mahomes is number one is because of the Super Bowl wins. That's why he's number one. So if Jalen has a ring, that has to impact his ranking.
He's number one because of the Super Bowl wins and because he's
great.
And
because he's awesome.
Yeah.
But the Super Bowl wins are why no one questions the number one.
Yes, but I agree with you.
But I don't know why we can't also. He also did it without Tyreek Hill. And he's done it with Travis Kelce, who's an older... Like, dude, he's playing with A.J. I know. He's playing with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, best line of football. Like,
We have a whole week of
this. You could trip in the 12 wins.
We have a whole week of this.
I thought you made a great argument.
Yes.
Well, we have to break now with Jack.
No,
I'm kidding. Andy Reid's the best asset of the two teams, but whatever. He is.
I actually have a point about that, and we'll talk about it next.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.